I see COVID pride being is people have formulated their position on COVID. The difficulty is you can curate your news, information, articles, even experts in every field of science to support your position. Your thoughts and feelings on COVID are not primary salvation issues.
Welcome back to the table presented by the Broken Image Podcast, where myself, Rye, and then John sit down, discuss life, theology, cultural moments, and much, much more. John, how are you doing today?
I'm good. It's cold.
It is very cold.
And I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not like Saskatoon, Alberta, Canada or something.
No. But
it's cold for the PNW.
Yeah, especially if you're sensitive to cold. Like, I'm kind of sensitive to cold, and
I'm just sensitive, period.
Period. Just in general.
just a general kind person. Of sensitive person.
Yeah. It's definitely cold outside. So if we could get to summer quicker.
Yeah, well, great. It was last week with the sun was out. It was nice. It was tripping with me.
Yeah, but like, even though it was 30 degrees outside still.
Yeah, at least the sun was out.
Yeah, makes you feel a little bit better.
Yeah. I've been talking with a lot of transplants to Clark County recently because we have a lot of people visiting the church. And I have to keep reminding them, like, your first winter here is hard. We've grown accustomed to it.
Like, we're used to it.
But if you're from, like, Southern California where a lot of people are transplanting from, it's tough.
I can't even imagine moving from somewhere so warm to then living in the winter of the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
That would be terrible. I don't like it, and I've been living here for 21 years.
I talked to someone that moved here from Alaska for the better weather. I'm like, wow. I guess perspective. it could be worse.
Wow. That's sad. Or good. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we were brainstorming about some different segment ideas, and one of the ones you came up with that we're going to do today is our friend fantasy draft. 3 to 5 people, they could be dead or alive, that you would want in your friend group and why. Exclude Jesus. You can do Paul if you wanted to, or like some of the historical Bible figures.
Right.
But who would you want in your friend group and why?
Ooh, I'm going to let you go first because I sincerely have not thought about this.
Yeah. I've thought about it a little bit. There's a few. I think one of them he's dead, but that I would want in my friend group would be C.S. Lewis, I think.
Nice.
He would be, like, I don't know, just to sit in a somewhere and just...
Some English pub.
And, yeah, and just talk to him about...
Watch him puff on his pipe and talk about Jesus.
Yeah, and just being, I don't know, that'd be so cool just to be able to get inside his mind, hang out with him, be like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Why did you write the Chronicles of Narnia the way you did?
Right. Like,
the brilliance behind his.
Right.
So that's one person, I think, for sure. Who else? I mean, Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cliche.
No.
Obviously. But, I mean, the dude was like the dude, you know?
And right.
So I think he'd be a great friend to have. Especially if you're, like, suffering. He's like, well, let me tell you, man.
Yeah. I've been bit by 3 snakes.
I've been shipwrecked 2 times. I've been imprisoned and stoned and...
Lashed.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, he'd give you a little bit of perspective as a friend.
Yeah. Like, it's not so hard.
Honestly, I've been trying to think about it. Like, who would I have a friend, like now, that's, like, alive now?
Mm.
And I honestly can't think of...
You're, like, a sports guy. Isn't that, like, a sports celebrity? Like, you're like, that guy seems cool. I'd want to hang with him.
Like, there are people, like, it would be cool to be friends, like, but they're, like, friends versus just meeting. Like, it'd be cool to meet a lot of these people.
Yeah.
But I'm like, is this dude just going to be a jerk if I become friends with him? Like, what's that like?
Yeah, their persona on the screen versus in real life.
Yeah. Like, I think I would want to be friends with, like, a couple, like, Christian rappers. That would be pretty cool. But other than that, I can't think of many people. What about you?
Oh, man. Well, we're talking about English people, smarties. G.K. Chesterton. He seemed like a really well-rounded, thoughtful, intelligent Christian. Right. You know, he passed away a long time ago, but I've been reading a little bit of his stuff and just going, like, this guy had a ton of great insights. Of course, Solomon or Moses or Paul.
Yeah.
Those seem obvious. any of those guys. some early church leaders, St. Basil, Augustine would be amazing to pick his brain. I talked about Anselm recently. He'd be cool. I think in contemporary people, contemporary in that, in the last 100 years or 200 years, I just read a book called The Faith of Abraham Lincoln. Just, I think he's one of the best presidents we've had as far as like intellectual, naturally intelligent presidents, curious brain, a student of people, just super thoughtful leader. He obviously was a man with some deep, deep flaws, and wouldn't set him up as a paragon for faith. But he, I thought this was interesting. One of the last things he said to his wife was he wanted to go to Jerusalem to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Because he was a very spiritually curious person, but he said this right before they stepped into the theater where John Wilkes Booth killed him. So, but yeah, it's interesting. I wonder what Reconstruction would have looked like if he was alive, and he just seemed like a guy that I'd want to get to know. like, I'm not a huge celebrity guy, but Chris Pratt seems really fun.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be fun to hang out with.
He would be very fun to
hang
out with.
And I'm kind of sort of a man crush on Tom Brady right now. Like,
really?
I mean, I don't know him personally, but right. Like to win that many games, like he's the greatest quarterback of all time. I know he's like quirky in real life, but just like, man, the guy's a goat.
Dude's so good at what he does, his craft.
So I'm like, there's definitely something you can learn from a guy like Tom Brady. Probably not like health tips because, I mean, maybe. He's been playing for a super long time. 43? Yeah. So I'm not 43, I'm 39, and yeah, guy put me to shame for sure. But anyways, that's one of my momentary celebrity crushes.
I guess. Think another cool one for me, people would be like, that he'd be a weird friend, but to pick his brain and talk to him regularly would be Kanye West.
Yeah, I'd go to the ranch in Wyoming and just kind of.
That would be so cool.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that'd be cool.
I wonder how much of that is just stagecraft of him, like,
I don't know.
I have to be weird to keep. I got to keep up with the weirdness.
Because he's like a creative genius.
Yes.
Because he was like millions of dollars in debt, is now a billionaire.
Right.
Like in the last like 4 years.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy.
Yeah. Also, I put him in the category with like Elon Musk. Like the guy, they think outside of the box. I may not agree with everything they think think it's good, noble thoughts, but they definitely are pressing the boundaries on certain issues and thoughts and things like that, which I find admirable, you know, thinking outside of the box.
My mom said it. She's like, they're too – she was saying it about Elon Musk, but it applies to Kanye. Like, they're too smart for their own good.
Right.
Like, they're so smart that they're like a whack.
Probably become a parable at some point. Howard Hughes figure,
right?
You know,
but yeah, that's a fun one to talk about. I know I've had conversations with people like who would you be in your friend group? Who would you want to pick their brain? You know?
So that segment we're calling Fantasy Draft.
Yeah, we'll do it in the future. Send us in who would be
your
fantasy friends. We'd love
you could put our names down.
Yeah, I doubt.
But we could actually be your real friends.
Yeah, we'll hang out with you.
We'll hang out.
This last Sunday, we concluded our series in Forged, where we looked at the book of Romans a bit. And this last week, we talked about walking humbly. To sum up your sermon in a sentence, it would be, humility requires thinking rightly about ourselves, other believers, and our gifts. And so, just want to go through some questions.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about an over-evaluation of self and an under-evaluation of self.
Right.
How do you live and have balance between both of those things?
Yeah, so the extremes are for one to think too highly of themselves, to over-evaluate themselves, and then the other extreme is self-deprecation, to think too lowly of yourself. And so where I went in the sermon, it sounds like you'll probably go there, the next question is, instead of fixing our eyes on ourselves, navel-gazing as a gauge for where we're at, or I spoke to this last night, or looking outward at other people's lives and being like, well, I'm not as good as that person, but at least I'm better than this person, which we fall into that trap all the time. I even confessed I do that at times too. When I'm having a bad day, you know, I driving around like, well, at least I'm not this guy, you know, and then denigrate that person who's creating the image of God, and they could be living a great life, you know?
Right.
So contentment and having the right focus is to have Jesus be the standard from which we measure ourselves.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible to think too highly of yourself if Jesus is the standard.
Right.
But it's also the flip side of that is it's impossible to think too lowly of yourself because we know how costly the grace is that he showed us on the cross and how valuable we are in his eyes as a son or daughter of the King. Mm-hmm. So that's what I offered as an example of,
right.
of how do we measure ourselves.
Right.
So to avoid those two extremes.
Yeah, I think because you kind of touched on it, like the story you told with like the Little Caesars guy.
Right.
Which is, oh my gosh, he's been there forever. Like you
said. Right, he's a local legend. So if you live in Clark County, you know Caesars guy at the corner of 4th Plain and 117th.
Yeah, so, but you gave the example as like comparing like your job, basically. Yeah. Oh, I don't, my life's, at least I'm not this guy.
Dancing with a cardboard guitar for Little Caesars.
I think we do that, but we also do it with sin. At least I do it more with sin. Than like I compare probably like my friends that are all in relationships with like, my friend Ben is now married, and like I've compared, like I'm not married yet,
right.
But then I've been like I've sinned and be like, well, at least I haven't killed somebody,
right?
Like,
when people say that, like, I'm not great, but at least I'm not, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer or something. I'm like cut someone up and ate them or something weird like that,
something strange,
yeah,
but it's not helpful,
no,
because our sin all separates us,
yeah, yeah. I mean, some sin have greater consequences, obviously, but all sin grieves the Father's heart and causes us to be separated and we need to repent of.
Is it ever in any way helpful to compare yourself to another person?
Gosh, that's a great question. I haven't really thought about that. My gut instinct is no.
Right.
Unless it's a positive thing in regards of like you want to emulate their character traits. You know, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ.
Right.
So he, in a way, set himself up as an example like, look at my life and and seek to live a life like this. I'm not Paul, you know, so I'm not going to go out on that limb and say that. But he seems to indicate there is at least an iota of health in looking at someone who maybe is a predecessor in the faith, like a Charles Wesley or Spurgeon, who are guys that are one of my fantasy team.
Fantasy friend team.
Anyways, to look at them and go, okay, wow, they inspire me to look more like Jesus. So there might be some helpful prodding in that.
Right.
It's a possibility.
It can be. I think at that point, like there's the healthy with that. And then when it becomes unhealthy, I think is when you're so obsessed with it.
Right.
You try to become that.
Right. And I can tell when certain young pastors are like listening to specific pastors on YouTube because they start to even their voice inflection sounds like them. And I would say to young pastors, especially like be you,
right?
Like God created you the way that you are. And there's things you can learn from certain pastors, but when you begin to emulate to them to such a degree that your voice inflection sounds like them,
right?
You've crossed a line.
I've had two conversations because obviously I'm 21 and I'm new to preaching, obviously, but this was a couple years ago. I had a conversation with Hearn about it.
Yeah.
And he was like, don't, like, for the first 5 years, you're going to be a mixture of all your favorite preachers.
Right.
And I was like, okay, gotcha. And then there was one time I preached a message, and Steve is like, you've been listening to Matt Chandler? And I'm like,
zing.
I have been listening to Matt Chandler. But yeah, so that's so true.
Yeah, like, it's like, you know, David putting on Saul's armor.
Right.
And I think there's some helpful tips we can get from pastors we respect.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true for a lay person. Like you can look at someone, but you're not called to live that person's life. You don't have all the giftings they have and they don't have all the giftings you have.
Mm-hmm.
So you do a disservice to yourself and to that person by trying to, you know, deify them and emulate them.
Right. You mentioned measuring yourself to Christ. What does that look like practically? Because it's like a very like, oh, measure yourself to Christ. Like,
right.
Cool.
I think if I could summarize that just practically, it's like following the way of Jesus. So looking at his life in the Gospels.
Mm.
And it's cliche, but the bracelet, you know, that kids wore, I wore as a new Christian, that what would Jesus do?
Right.
That your life is so shaped by the Gospel that when given a situation, you look at Jesus and go, this is how Jesus would respond.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So when I think about Jesus as the standard,
mm-hmm.
That's what I think about.
Right. And we will always fall short of that standard.
Yes, that's why we need daily grace, mm-hmm. Grace on grace.
Yeah, great. New mercies try, every morning.
Yeah, new mercies every morning. As we try to, fall forward into Jesus.
Right.
We take steps in discipleship of him. So.
Yeah, that's helpful because then, last night when I was listening, I was like, well, how do I do that?
I know. It's like okay, John, that's the 10,000 foot level. Yeah. So what does it mean to have Jesus as the standard?
Granted, I mean, there's a lot of content in the sermon, so you can't be like, let's touch on every single thing.
Right, yeah. Right.
But yeah, that's helpful. Looking at the life of Jesus, the way of Jesus, as Comer would say, the way of Jesus.
Right, and that requires us to be in the scriptures.
Yeah.
And looking at his life and.
Yeah. I would agree. Something that I think you should almost always be reading the Gospels.
Yeah.
A pastor said it, I think. Do your study. You study your word. You do your devotions. Go to bed reading the Gospels.
Yeah. Chapter of the Gospel.
Knowing what Jesus is.
Verses, yeah.
So you're familiarizing yourself so much with what Jesus did.
Yeah. And, Jesus... He condemns the Pharisees and says, you know this book, you've memorized the Torah,
right?
But you miss the heart of God. So not just reading for head knowledge, but allowing it to move the 2 feet from your head to your chest,
right?
The center of your soul and mm-hmm. shaping your identity, which that takes quite a bit more intentionality.
That's pretty hard to do. Yeah. I still struggle with that.
Yep.
You talked about something that you did a little sidebar, which you're known for doing.
I get distracted.
It was a good sidebar. But you talked about COVID pride.
Yeah.
And so you explained what that was last night. But I'm going to have you explain it again.
Right.
Because it had such good feedback. And then, so what is it? And what is it doing to the church?
Yeah. So I really wrestled with whether or not to keep that in the sermon. I think I told you that mm-hmm. earlier today. What I see COVID pride being... is people have formulated their position on COVID. The difficulty is you can curate your news and information, articles, even experts in every field of science to support your position. Your thoughts and feelings on COVID are not primary salvation issues. They're way down the rung.
I would argue they're not even secondary.
I feel like they're not as well, but people have elevated them to so they have their position, they have their experts, and then they have a deep personal conviction. And what it's leading to is because things have become so combative, it's leading to people having pride and a total lack of humility in how they deal with people they disagree with. So you'll hear certain people on one side of the debate going, well, I'm not doing X, Y, Z because those people are sheeple or they've been conditioned by the media. And here are the reasons why that you've given into, this side. And right. then on the flip side of that, you have people saying, well, you're being anti-scientific or you're dangerous. You're trying to kill my grandmother. You're the reason we can't open back up. You're selfish.
Right.
And the point I made is, I know people on both sides of the debate who I respect a great deal, who love Jesus, and they are opposed to each position. But I was imploring the church, that's going to be the case in a community anywhere in the country right now.
Right.
But Christian charity requires us on these issues that aren't primary
right.
to be gracious and kind and not to strip a brother down or sister down. And have dialogue in such a way that edifies the body and doesn't divide the body. So I'm not saying I'm a COVID expert, but I do know what the Bible says on pride.
Right.
And what I see is a ton of pride right now. And I'm not immune to that. I found myself in a position where I'm frustrated with an individual or a group of people and, feel like X, Y, Z. And I had to confess that to the Lord. I want this. This is a season. We're not going to be in COVID indefinitely.
Right.
The only example I have from recent history is the Spanish flu. It was around for about 2.5-3 years, and then as fast as it came, it disappeared.
Wow.
I believe the stat was it killed 11 million people globally. Jeez. So in comparison, COVID is the 10th deadliest pandemic we've had in the modern era.
Gotcha.
So comparatively speaking, Spanish flu is way more deadly. And what's interesting, you know, and we're already seeing this with the English mutation and South African mutation, Lord willing, it'll disappear as fast as it came. And if not, you know, it seems hopeful with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines that there'll be critical mass or herd immunity.
Right.
So on the flip side of everything we're experiencing, that we would be in community with people we disagree with, because this is, we're not going to be in COVID forever.
Right.
And so when could we come out of this as a church who maybe disagrees but still loves each other well?
Right.
And that's what I was charging the church to consider doing, and there was a lot of feedback on both sides of the paradigm. You know, I had people watching on the live stream that are, you know, very sensitive to COVID, and I respect that. And then I had people, you know, who are there in person and calculating the risk, and I respect them as well.
Right.
And both of them saying, you know, I admit that I've been prideful on my position on COVID and denigrated my brother or sister in Christ. So God obviously used that. You know, there were, you know, individuals upset, and I knew that, fully expected that to be the case.
Right.
When you try to have a dialogue on such a raw cultural issue. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think it was really good. It's not talked about enough. Because we talk about, like, I feel like right now, as Christians, a lot of that's being talked about is unity, doctrinal division. Like, that just seems to be a very prevalent topic.
Right.
But the top, like, and it's talking about all the things that we already know.
Right.
Oh, Calvinism, Arminianism, like, don't hate each other. You guys are brothers in Christ. Like, we get that. Like, spiritual gifts.
Right.
We're all brothers, all that. But COVID's not the one that's been talked about.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, like, no, we're allowed to, like, hate you for this.
Right.
Which, and I've been guilty of it. Like, I had to confess, too. Just, like, I've been so stuck in my ways, which I'm allowed to have an opinion.
Yeah.
But it's been, like, these people are idiots if they don't agree with me.
Right, exactly.
And you're clearly not a Christian. And like, that's,
are you living in fear or whatever?
You don't trust God.
Yeah.
Which could be true, but also is not fair for me to make that judgment.
No, you don't know the heart of man. And so, Jesus, he warns us against judging the heart of man.
Exactly.
And so we don't know their motives. We can't judge their heart. And so I think we should steer clear of that.
Especially if they're not in sin, then we have no grounds to be like, because if they're in sin in some way, we're like, okay, we can approach them in a loving way.
Right.
But if they're not in sin and they just have a different opinion, it's like, okay, I disagree with you. What's your point? Here's my point.
Right. And avoid moralizing each other's decisions.
Right.
It doesn't make you good or bad if you come down on opposite ends of a spectrum that's, at least now, relatively open for debate, because there's been so much conflicting data out there.
Yeah.
I mean, Newsweek last week ran an article saying, like, experts are saying shutdowns aren't working, you know, and it was a few weeks ago it was, and then, you know, masks and no masks. Yeah. And so it's so the we're in the fog of war.
Right.
And so trying to avoid, you know, casting judgment on a brother in such a tenuous, uncertain time.
So. Right. Yeah. So this week, there are two things that kind of relevant in the news that we want to talk about. First one is we have a new president and vice president and administration.
I missed that.
Finally happened. Like, it was official.
Yeah.
So.
It seemed like there for a while we weren't sure if we're going to have a peaceful transition of power. And
we did.
We did. Which so democracy. Really yay.
Thank,
we did it.
Thank goodness. We made it.
So anyways.
As a Christian, how do you respond to a new president? Because,
you know,
my
commitment to this president is the same as the last. Pray for him.
Yep.
When he furthers policy and holds positions that align with a Christian worldview, I support that wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. And when he doesn't, I will be against it.
Right.
You know, I have a responsibility. The hierarchy is I'm responsible first to God, and the government is a secondary position. So, I'm going to pray for America and for our country and for our president. I want him to make wise decisions. Mm-hmm. I want him to make godly decisions, so I'm praying for that.
Right.
And get behind any president when they align with what the Bible mandates as important for the thriving of humanity. Mm. So when those policy positions align with that, then I'm on board and supporting and advocating alongside, and because we should be about our community's right. thriving and things like that. But when it's not, then I need to, divide scripture correctly and use that as the primary source for informing how I live in this world.
Right. Yeah. And with that comes a lack of pride and humility.
Right.
Because you have, obviously, there's 70 million people that didn't vote for him.
Right.
And he's now the president. The
country is very divided right now.
And so we don't want another, like, he's not my president. Like, he is our president.
Right.
Whether you like him or not. And right. As Christians especially, we're called to respect him and to, like you said, like when he's doing things that are aligned with our worldview, like affirm that, like support that. And then if he's not, then you respectfully and lovingly go to scripture, like right. you said. And
one thing we were talking about just a few minutes ago is, who was the president 150 years ago? Do you know?
No.
Who was Caesar, in the year 80?
Yeah.
People forget their names.
Yeah.
So when we're in the moment, it's like, it's all about that person. But in the arc of history, it's about Jesus. Right. And so kind of right size our response, fear. Jesus is still on the throne. Right. He reigns supreme. Mm-hmm. When he either comes back or calls us home, we'll be with Jesus, So keeping that, fixing our eyes on Jesus as we run this race and not getting distracted. Right. And I think we over-evaluate the influence that leaders have on our individual freedoms. Mm. We have a lot of autonomy and responsibility as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Right. And as citizens of America, and I think we advocate too much responsibility away to our leaders. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot I can do that's up to me in my little corner of the world
right.
that isn't dictated by, presidents,
totally.
Executive decisions and things like that.
Right. So. The other thing that is helpful to talk about, tomorrow is the year anniversary of Kobe Bryant's death.
Yeah.
Extremely rough, I don't know if rough's the right word, but hard day for those in my generation, at least.
Yeah.
Like we talked about.
I wasn't aware of that when you said like this, you think of 9/11.
Right.
I think of the death of Kobe Bryant. Like it's marked in your memory.
Yeah. It's another moment in history where it's like, where were you? And I got out of the shower. I checked my phone. I had a text message from my brother, and then Twitter and Instagram was blowing up and everything was like, Kobe Bryant's dead. And I sat down on the top of my stairs and I sat there for like 25, 30 minutes. Wow. And like, I was heartbroken. Yeah. I wasn't even a huge Kobe Bryant fan. Like I loved his game.
But he was such an icon for your generation.
And then there's people I knew that loved him so much. They were hurting so much.
Hmm.
It was like what I don't know what to do. And so how do we respond to the death of a celebrity, of a
right.
person that's in the news and like that we look up to, not in the way that like they're right. our idol, but like
right. Interesting. Just from the hip, two things I think of is, first, never like minimize their pain. Like I had someone say to me early on in leading youth ministry, is puppy love is real to a puppy. And I'm not saying that grief over the death of Kobe Bryant is puppy love, but but it's real to them. I may not evaluate that as a very significant moment in history or for me as an individual, right. but if it grieves them, as it says, we grieve with those who grieve, we rejoice with those who rejoice. Mm-hmm. Try to empathize with them, acknowledge their pain. Secondly, if they're a person, non-believer, I think it opens the door for a conversation about eternity and heaven and about the Lord, where our eternal hope and security is. And so there's an opportunity, these cultural moments to go, we're all talking about death right now. And what is the opportunity here for us as a Christ follower to share the hope that we have in Jesus? Those are the two things, just a pastoral response. Those would be the two things, but, I'm not like a huge basketball fan, so, mm-hmm. but I know you are.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, kind of what I went through like last year, I guess, is probably what I'll do like tomorrow. I'm guessing like I'll feel like I even start to feel the weight about it just talking about it. But like I'm a Boston Celtics fan. I hate the Lakers. And like I grew up not liking Kobe Bryant, but as I grew older, matured, obviously I understood how impactful he was to basketball.
Yeah.
And I saw people just heartbroken as they would be heartbroken of losing a loved one.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy smokes, like this is like you said, real for them.
Right.
And right. So like praying for people, like simply asking how some people are.
Right.
Is how I want to respond. And then it does open the conversation. I had a conversation last year with people like, because they're like, was he a Christian? And I'm like, I don't know. I know that he went to and talked to like a pastor the morning of his death.
I listened to a podcast on him, and he was, you know, involved in some religious schools, a Catholic school.
Catholic stuff.
And when lived in Italy.
Yeah. And so like, I'm like, I don't know, but it begs the question, like, that's eternity at stake.
Right.
And so that's what I think of a lot. Like,
yeah.
I don't know where he's at, but that's a tough thing to talk about and to try to understand if you're a Christ follower, if you're not a Christ follower.
Right, right.
And so there's a lot of – obviously, you can tell – like, there's a lot of mixed things in my head.
I can tell. I'll be praying for you tomorrow.
So it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's – you think of, like, people when JFK was killed and, like, stuff like that where these
– Right, these pivotal moments for a generation. Yeah. I mean, my grandmother, it was Pearl Harbor for me. It was probably 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, Lord willing.
Hopefully this is the worst. Is it, but
yeah. But maybe, I don't know. It could be something different, you know? Yeah. So.
It's crazy.
Yeah. History is cool.
So.
Think about that.
But yeah, thank you for listening to today's episode. Make sure you follow the podcast on Instagram at BRKN Images. You can actually click the link in our bio, and we have merch that is out.
Merch, stickers.
It is.
On your nail jeans.
We got everything. Stickers.
Give a shout out to our sponsor, the Canadian Tuxedo.
Yep.
Jean jackets with denim pants. So thank you for that.
Yeah, sponsoring us.
Sponsor. And then also Fred Meyer Fuel Points.
Yes.
Shout out to Fred Meyer Fuel Points because I got 90 cents off a gallon.
Yeah, I would get 90 cents off a gallon if my dad didn't kill me every time I used it.
Right. We do, my wife and I, battle over the fuel points. Yeah. But shout out to Canadian Tuxedos and Fred Meyer Fuel Points.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. We'll see you next time.